Hey, yo, Jace.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Say something to her. Holla at her.
I got one question. How'd you fit all that in them jeans? You know what to do with that big fat butt. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Just a little bit of patty cake, patty cake with no hands. Got me in this club making wedding plans. If I take pictures while you do your dance, I can make you famous on Instagram.
Welcome to this episode of After the Credits. I am your co-host, Farina Antunes of Row3.com and QuieterThoughtUS. Joined today by returning fellow co-host,
Colleen the Slacker.
And Dale from whatever.
Really?
Whatever. Okay. Terminal City Tales. We'll go with that. The new radio show I can talk about now.
Yay! Hooray! What's it about?
Stories told by people like you in your own voice.
Very cool.
I just screwed our tagline up, but it's close enough.
Is your first show live already?
We just did our month anniversary.
Excellent.
So is it kind of like a moth thing?
Yeah, it's like a moth thing.
Nice. Where cool.
If people have a story that they want to release into the wild, we record it, or they can record it and send it to us, and we're going to like story slams and things. And yeah, they're just stories by people, like not
brilliant,
not by professional actors or any.
That's awesome.
Voice talent.
Excellent.
Although we do get a lot of story slammers and the occasional comedian who, so they're kind of polished, but we have lots of
not
just
so,
what yeah. I would call regular people.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually don't know what a story slam is, but I assume it's probably like a poetry slam.
Oh, please tell me there's fighting involved.
Yes, sorry, no fighting.
Damn it.
It is battles
I
with
would,
words.
I
it is a competition.
It is
a
word, words hurt, man.
Word battle. Word.
It is a competition usually, but yeah, it's no. Excuse me. No blood is forthcoming.
It's all virtual. Virtual blood.
But there are winners and losers.
I applaud your moxie and your go-gettedness, because I'm not doing much.
So. Well, you're plumbing.
I'm plumbing.
Starting a new job and like that whole, and especially going from
it's not just
inside
like a new
worker to really physical.
Yeah.
It's
not just a new job. It's a new career.
I've been getting at least 7 hours sleep, and I think you both realize how monumental me getting more than about 4 hours a night is.
Is seven enough?
Not really. But I'll take it.
You'll take what you can get.
Yeah.
So yes, we are very happy to have you back.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Missed you last month.
Yeah, I was
for sure.
I was basically passed out by the time.
Yeah. Speaking of new career. And,
no, exactly.
Yeah.
So let's jump into August. Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff. Starting with Suicide Squad on August 5th.
This is how you make a trailer.
Pretty much. Or a couple of trailers. You know, whatever.
Made me want to watch it.
So
gratuitous violence.
Wow. Yep.
For people who don't know what Suicide Squad is, it's Marvel, right? Or
DC.
Is it DC?
DC supervillains.
Wow. DC comic book world. Yeah, supervillain, comic book characters. Think of the Dirty Dozen, only superheroes.
Pretty much. I don't actually know any of the superheroes well, except for the Joker, because everybody knows the Joker.
Yeah, like Harley Quinn, I know.
Yeah.
The rest, I'm...
But I mean, even Harley Quinn, she's one of these characters that I know of because I've seen like thousands and millions of costumes at this point at every convention that I go to.
Cosplay Paluna.
Pretty much.
Not actually the canon.
No, but it's she's a super popular character. But if you were to ask me anything about her, no idea. Never seen her in anything, so whatever.
I have not. Yeah, I think one of the Batman cartoons in a couple of the episodes is when saw her.
Which is actually where she came from. There was a really great interview.
She was a sidekick to the Joker.
Yeah, there was a really great interview with the creator of the character in, I want to say it was, I don't know, some online magazine. I don't think it was Slate. But it was really interesting because he talked a little bit about where the character came from and how he was so surprised when he went to his first convention. It's like everybody is dressed as her. He's like, I can't believe she took on such a life of her own. It's a really interesting article. If I can dig it up, I'll link to it in the show notes.
Yeah, well, one of the things I'm curious about with her character, since we're talking about her, I kind of think like she was one of the first sidekicks with agency. Is that maybe the wrong way of putting it? Like like you say, it's really fascinating how she was one of the characters that caught people's imagination.
Well, I think one of the reasons for that too is the fact that she's a female character in a world that's very male dominated. And like you say, she had agency, which I think is pretty important.
Wasn't just a minion.
Yeah, pretty much. Right. So I think that certainly caught people's attention.
So I'm looking forward to this superhero movie.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm really interested to see how apparently they did a couple of reshoots. The rumors were that the reshoots were to bring some lightness into the story because DC was getting slammed with the whole takes itself way too seriously. I hope that that's not the case. I thought the first trailer showed a little bit of moxie, and the trailers since then have all shown kind of the same sort of tongue-in-cheek approach, which I think you have to do when you have a bunch of supervillains that are going to be like the good guys. I think you kind of have to give it a little bit of lightness. I don't know. I think it looks really good. It's a super awesome cast, really good director. I mean, they've got things lined up to go well. They've stacked
the deck in their favor.
Oh, totally.
We'll see if they can fulfill.
Exactly. I'm really excited for sure. Maybe not for me. Nine Lives.
I don't know what to make of this.
Is it this for anybody?
Is
there a market for this?
I looked at the rest of the films coming out this week, and it's like, yep, alternate programming because they're expecting Suicide Squad to. This is definitely the kids' movie, right?
Or something. Yeah. I don't know, man.
I don't like it when animals talk or even think audibly. I don't like that. Like, I love The Littlest Hobo, but you never got to hear its actual thoughts.
Babe was not for you.
Oh, God, no. No, so, I don't like it when animals speak.
This is, what was a Disney? There was a Disney set of movies, The Shaggy D.A. This is a man gets put into the body of a cat. And
yeah.
The Shaggy D.A. was a guy gets put in the body of a big
Freaky Friday animal style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's Kevin Spacey, which is interesting.
It was shocking.
But
he needed a paycheck, apparently. Hustle Cards doesn't pay enough.
With our improved effects, of course, the cat does things that are impossible for a real cat to do.
Yeah. Brought to us by the director of Men in Black 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, son. I thought he only did the first one.
No, I think he did all three.
Okay. Yeah, this. I mean, I think
it's not for me.
I think this is what it is.
Yeah,
kind of a movie. It really looks like a kids movie that maybe the adults will be able to tolerate.
What surprised me even beyond Kevin Spacey is because he's done some like pretty questionable material, so it's not surprising that he's in this. But Jennifer Garner tends to have better taste.
This is the kind of movie I'll give them some slack, the actors. Like, if you're reading the script, because there is so much more in your imagination than typical, say, drama.
I disagree. Kevin Spacey, you're going to be a cat.
I know. Like, how is that
And you
appealing?
Have to convince your wife, who isn't a cat, that you're actually who you are
K-Pax.
Or something before.
K-Pax is my answer.
Well, this is the thing. Like, Kevin Spacey doesn't surprise me because he's made shit like K-Pax.
I kind of like K-Pax.
Oh, God.
I did, too.
Oh, no.
You're alone.
Oh, God.
In the wilderness.
Well, it's not the first
time. With Philistines.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
I wasn't going to nominate it for an award.
No,
it didn't
no.
make my top 10.
Not. It wasn't good, but I enjoyed it nonetheless.
There is that. Also opening on the 5th, Little Men, Ira Sachs's new film about two young boys that are friends and their families are having some issues because one of them is renting from another one. Like, it's a the trailer confuses me. So
yeah,
one
me
of the
too.
Boys owns the shop that is being rented by, like, one of their families owns the shop that's being rented by the other family, and they want to raise the rent, but they can't afford to, like, the other family can't afford the new rent. It's like this big convoluted thing. So it's basically two boys who are friends whose, like, relationship's being tested by adults, and they're bullshit.
Yeah. And nothing to do with the book of the same name.
Oh, there's a book of the same name. Okay.
Little Men, Little Women. Yeah, I think Little Men was kind of written. Anyway, from what I remember of the book, I haven't read it. this plot has nothing to do with it, and the book isn't credited in the credits.
So oh, okay.
I would say it's just shares the name only, nothing to do with.
I tend to like Ira Saxis's work, though. He has like a very sort of naturalistic approach to filmmaking, and I like the stories of friendship that he puts together and just the stories of relationships. So I think it could be really interesting. Certainly a really great cast, but the story sounds a little convoluted. It's just like this really strange setup to have these two boys have issues.
You know, and I'm... This film has a lot of similar competition this month that actually looks, well, better? For me, more compelling to go see.
Moving on to Five Nights in Maine. Oh, yeah, okay. The title of this is so bland that I had to reread the... I had to look at the cast to know which one this was, and which is surprising because I thought the trailer actually looked really good.
This one looks interesting. Yeah. This is the first of actually, I think, about five movies this month that I really want to see. I don't think I want to see them in the theater.
Yeah.
And they're not like action-y or sci-fi or like ideas. They're dramas. So it kind of feels surprising. But
you know, it's funny you mentioned that because when I was going through the list, there were a couple of things that are already on my watch list. But I went through and it was the same thing. There were a bunch of dramas that I went, oh, this looks really good. This was one of them. So this one stars David Oyelowo as a man whose wife dies and he goes to, I guess, the funeral. And he hasn't seen his mother-in-law in a long time. And apparently they don't really get along. So it's kind of like 5 days in Maine with your family's, your wife's deceased, like your deceased wife's family.
And spoiler alert, they don't get along.
No. And I mean, Diane Wiest is a really great actress. He's a really great actor. And seeing them spar is kind of awesome.
I love the tension. I mean, that was what caught me for this was they didn't reveal a lot, but... The tension I found just was really compelling. I wanted to dig in more.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Not my cup of tea. I think I started yawning while watching it.
I know. I always know what Colleen isn't interested because there's nothing.
There's a glazed expression.
Kind of.
Probably I've forgotten what the trailer is because I'm like, oh yeah, I can just dismiss this outright.
Yeah. Well, like I say, the title is really not the best thing because you look at it and like I instantly forgot what it was.
If I'd been reading this in a film festival, it'd be like, director, yeah, I would have skipped it.
Right. I know, totally. This is another one that kind of surprised me front cover.
This is the next one.
Yeah, this was also pretty surprising. So it's... The story centers around a gay fashion photographer who is charged with covering this Chinese rising Chinese
action hero star.
Yeah, and you know
he's gay, and it's not still kind of frowned upon in the Chinese thing. So yeah. there's a clash of that. He's very American. The fellow is from China,
very Chinese,
and. I just the dealing with the race and identity that came out in the trailer and in the description, I will probably see this one in the theater. Like this story really fascinates me.
I thought it was I really liked
the actors are compelling. The situations that they're presenting for me are compelling.
Agreed. Yeah, I was really blown away. I'm like, wow, this is actually really good. I have not heard about this yet.
It looked good, but it's not enough to get me to a theater by long shot. But if it came up on Netflix, I'd probably watch it. It did look that interesting.
So, that's good. Yeah. Hey, we got a winner.
The cynic, yeah.
Moving on to August the 12th. Okay, so I have a full admission. I have been avoiding Pete's Dragon anything for months because I'm like, oh, it's going to be terrible. Oh, it's going to be terrible. The trailer is actually really good.
I looked at this trailer very dismissively and it won me over.
Yeah, I was impressed. I mean, I kind of looked at it after and I'm like, well, I should have known better. It's David Lowery. So
do you remember, I didn't get a chance to look at this before we started, but Pete's Dragon was originally a movie or was it based on a kid's book or both?
I think it's a book.
Because I know Disney did a cartoon Pete's Dragon too, like years and years and years ago.
I think it was a book. I did vaguely look, but honestly not enough to... While you guys talk, I'll look it up. I can't remember.
Seems to me, I read the book kind of thing when I was a kid, but I don't know. It does nothing for me. It's definitely the wrong genre whatsoever for me.
I have no
Maybe that was Puff the Magic Dragon. I don't know. There was a green dragon. There was a kid. I don't know.
Yeah, based on a story by, so I assume it's some sort of book.
Yeah, I had no Pete's Dragon when I was growing up. So in terms of nostalgia or anything,
well, I remember,
it does nothing for me.
It's one of the few sort of like kids' books I like read that weren't based on like Russian or Germanic fairy tales.
Oh, okay.
That I was raised with Russian and German fairy tales. Could explain a few things.
But yeah, this is live action with some
very heavy effect. CG. Yeah. But I mean, it looks really great. So it's about a family that finds a little girl? Little boy?
I think it's a boy.
I think it's a boy, right?
It's not a common female
thanks. I can't remember now. I just remember being impressed. They find a little boy in the forest. They bring him into society, and it turns out he has this friend. They think it's imaginary. It turns out to be a dragon.
Yeah.
Carl Urban goes on the hunt.
Oh, that was the other thing. Yeah, Urban is doing his good villain. Yeah,
I'm totally
This is the Urban from Red. I love this Urban.
I like Urban in anything. So yeah, I was surprised. I'm like, hey, wait, I recognize that face. It surprised me. I really was not expecting much, and I was really happy with the way the trailer looks. So
forced that poor kid to comb his hair.
Oh, and take a bath and all that.
Unacceptable.
Oh, terrible.
Putting your cultural freaking stamp on a young, impressionable mind.
Oh,
screw
God.
That.
Oh, God.
Put him in the dog pit to, like, sort of fight their way out. That's right.
It might be best that you're not a mom.
You think? Yeah, I did my best to corrupt Leland in the one day I saw him, like, this summer kind of thing at the funeral.
And did it work?
I think so. He ran away.
So yeah, it worked. Yeah. Also opening on the 12th, Florence Foster Jenkins. I don't even know what to say.
It's supposed to be this inspirational story, but all I can think of is that's terrible.
Yeah, pretty much.
Stop encouraging the terrible. People are, my band, terrible. You're encouraging us. Stop it.
Meryl Streep plays a really bad singer, but she's rich, and her husband contrives to get her to do a public performance, and somewhere in there, it inspires people somehow, and I must admit, like, some of the scenes looked really interesting. Like, I was interested in the scenes, but I'm still not sure if I want to sit through the whole story.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I mean, I would watch it, quite honestly, for Meryl Streep, but it just looks so boring and so bad.
I thought Hugh Grant was doing pretty good in the trailer, too.
Yeah, I mean, the acting doesn't look bad. The story is just kind of like,
I couldn't help thinking, like, oh, what's the takeaway here? Privileged white woman, you know, pays for, I don't know.
Or something. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Sausage Party.
Wow.
This is not what I thought it was going to be.
This is dark.
Well, you guys hadn't seen this yet?
I had heard that they're doing a film called Sausage Party, and I heard the few people involved with it, like, mainly, and I'm like going, oh, good God. This is not what I pictured at all watching this. You know what? I just like how fucking dark it gets.
Yep.
Right away.
She's killing babies.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm all aboard. I've been chosen. And starts flailing. Flaying the potato.
Yeah.
It's because we touched tips.
That's right. It's not like it was even that great. Yeah. No, you know what? When this comes out, it's on Netflix. You know it is. I'll be watching this absolutely when it comes out.
Yeah, I'm not waiting for Netflix.
So, do you want to try and take a crack at the story?
So it's like
it's animated.
Yeah, it's an animated feature. The condiments come alive. They're
not
in the
condiments. The food.
The food.
Food.
But it's
condiments. All the food. Everything.
Everything comes alive.
Comes alive.
But they think that, you know, when they're in the grocery store, they think, you know, they're just waiting to be chosen to be taken to the pearly gates of awesomeness. And then they get there and they discover that, no, they're just going to get killed.
And eaten.
And eaten.
It, my favorite part
by
of
these
it.
These human things. And then they fight back, obviously.
Was the old wise elders, the food that no one ever eats, you buy them and it just stays in the cupboard forever?
Were the non-perishables.
Yeah. You know, the can of water chestnuts that stays for like 8 years in your house. Yeah.
I can guess, and I almost exactly how someone conceived of this, because I've thought of this too, right? Oh, when you're watching these animated features and the food is all nice and happy, and it's like, you're going to get eaten, dude.
Dead and like, I, dead.
Someone tales. Obviously decided to go there.
Veggie Tales.
There's already a thing called Veggie Tales, but vegetables go on, like pirates and things like that. It has nothing to do with the veggies' actual life. They anamorphized the
but
vegetables.
But no, I'm thinking of commercials. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like where you got the...
Oh, no. This is how Dan and I have figured out how they came up with the story. They were really fucking high.
Hi.
Well...
Because, I mean, now, come on.
Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill.
Yeah, so they were really fucking high. They're like, what if the food fought back? Holy shit, this is genius.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it would have they would have been watching like one of these commercials with the happy carrot. It's
pretty
like,
much.
Dude, you're going to get eaten. And high and... What if the food fought back?
Yeah, pretty much. It looks great. I cannot wait. It was done locally.
This looks a little dark for me, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I say that because I'm not a super fan of Rogan's humor. So
I hate cartoons. You know that. I'm just not into him for the most part. Finally, content I can get behind. There's no happy sort of shining story and no moralistic. No, it's just a bloodbath of vegetables.
Pretty much.
I want them to be juiced so bad, man.
I was going to say, isn't it a juice bath? Of
A juice bath, yeah.
I can't even say that now.
The
my
carrots.
God.
No.
I'm excited.
A smoothie. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. I'm really looking. Dan and I are really looking forward to this one. I can't wait.
Maybe I'll have to be high. That'll work.
I can help you with that. Also opening on the 12th, Anthropoid.
You've been holding out?
No, I discovered, dude, like pot has gotten high tech since I stopped smoking. Now you don't even need to smoke it. It's amazing.
Oh, I'm aware.
Yeah.
I a little bit of vodka works for me too.
Oh, yeah, no. You still inhale. You just, there's no smoke involved. It's amazing.
Yeah, or a stink.
I like tinctures.
Oh,
and
really?
Edibles. Oh, yeah.
The edibles I can do without.
It depends on what it is, kind of thing, but the tinctures work for me because I hate breathing in any smoke.
Yeah. We'll talk after.
Yes,
nobody else needs to know about getting
All right,
high
next
stories.
On Cannabis Corner.
In Vancouver, yes. Right. Did
Come
we
on,
say
it's
that after the credits from Vancouver?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Weed is legal here, people.
Keeping the tradition alive.
Yes. Always. Anthropoid. Sean Ellis is back. This is the guy that did Cashback and The Broken a couple of years ago. Cillian Murphy. It's a World War II story. Do you know about this one?
I didn't know about trying to take out, what's his face?
Second in command to Hitler. Richard Reinhard Heydrich.
Yes, yes. No, I didn't know about that specifically. I've probably heard it, but I've heard so much. But I want to see it just because it's World War II story.
It looks pretty good. So Cillian Murphy stars as a SS officer who is undercover trying to assassinate. Like, the plan is to assassinate this dude. Also stars Jamie Dornan, and they have a couple of female companions that are also in on the undercover operation. Now, they are German, right? They're not like spies or something.
Well, it's the resistance.
I can't remember actually watching. Like, I watched the trailer,
well,
but
I couldn't really figure it out from the trailer, to be completely honest. They obviously speak German really well, but I couldn't figure out if they were actually German resistance or if they
were
something else.
There were quite a few Germans that actually did resist as much as they could.
I just assumed that it was an allied plan with help of the local resistance.
It could be either.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't figure it out. And honestly, it really doesn't matter, but I thought the trailer looked really good.
Hell, generals in his army tried to blow up Hitler.
Yeah.
So,
I love it. This would have been earlier in the war, but I love that this was shot in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess this isn't an American production anyway, just looking at the...
Maybe not. Sean Ellis is British, so I assume it might be like a UK...
Because it's a Czech Republic, UK, France.
I was about to say, it did not seem nearly rah-rah siskum ba enough to be an American production.
But there's that.
Yeah, because you would need to have way more flag waving.
Yeah, there's a tendency for that, isn't there?
Yeah, there was a different definite style to the... Or aesthetic that didn't strike me as... Definitely not a Spielberg style movie.
No,
right?
And
like the lighting was much more.
Yeah, no, and I mean, if you've seen any of Ellis's other work, his short Cashback is actually online somewhere. You just have to do a search for it. He has a very unique style, which the period war movies doesn't seem like his type of material. So that in itself is kind of interesting. So it should make, if nothing else, for a really interesting looking movie.
Yeah.
But I thought it looked really good.
No, I want to see this one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agreed. Okay, what is this? Hell or High Water?
We have the Outlaws.
Oh, yeah, modern. Chris Pine and Ben Foster. Yes, I remember now.
About the banking.
Yeah, the banking.
Get back at those damn bankers.
This sounds like Billy the Kid. Is it Billy the Kid? I forget my...
no, you're in the right direction. So Chris Pine and Ben Foster star as brothers who rob a bank. But they're not really robbing from the people. They're robbing from the institution. Oh,
the institutions are insured.
Exactly.
And pretty much everyone in that area that's with that bank probably is, well, I don't know, do they have protections for their monies in the States?
I think they do.
Like here you have up to X amount.
Oh, for loan hold. But the bank has a different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also stars Jeff Bridges.
Yep. The dude.
Is the law.
The law.
The law. I think it looks...
He's the dude. Now he's the man.
I mean, what made me think of the old outlaw gang thing was the one line in the trailer where the woman says to the sheriff, "You want me to turn in the guys that are spending the money that's keeping my business going?"
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to put food in my...
Oh, modern day outlaw. Yeah,
for sure. And that particular woman is the sister on...
Oh, yeah, Molly, Mike and Molly.
Mike and Molly, yeah. I cannot remember her name, but I'm like, oh, hey, I recognize that face.
Yeah, I did too.
I thought it looked really, really good, and I haven't seen Chris Pine in anything that I've actually really liked him in a while. So, hey, I'm all for it.
Sure.
I'm on the fence about this one.
Oh, really?
I am.
I really liked Startup, which was the director's previous movie, so I'm totally game.
I'd watch it, but I really doubt I would go to a theater to watch it.
It's Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, what?
Maybe.
All right, Edge of Winter, also opening on the 12th. You know, I'll be watching this. Joel Kinnaman, I'm kind of a fan. New Spider-Man, Tom Holland. You guys are like, no response there. So
the story looked interesting, but it's not my
I like they're in a rural sort of environment and snowed in. Like, normally I'm all in it, but it just seems very drama laden.
And it is. Yeah. I mean, so Joel Kinnaman plays a father who is trying to win back his kids', I guess...
He has his kids attention. For the weekend or something.
Yeah, so
like
he's
that.
Trying to be like the awesome dad, the cool dad. So he takes them out to do all this stuff.
You're allowed to shoot the gun, drink the beer, drive the car. Yeah.
They crash, you know, shit happens.
Yeah, shit goes wrong.
Yeah.
You cannot tell your mom.
Pretty much. I believe this is Canadian, if I am not mistaken. It is also playing at the Van City starting on the 19th of August.
Hmm.
I've already booked my date. I'll be there. Also on the 12th, okay, so I don't know where this came from. Ghost Team. I mean, it should not work. It looks ridiculous.
It does.
It sounds ridiculous.
And it doesn't even have the same sort of you know how they did the scary movies and things like that? Like the comical sort of bend to it.
But dude, the trailer really caught me. I kind of want to see this.
I know, right?
Yeah, I know. So it's about a bunch of guys that are like obsessed with the paranormal, and they decide that they're going to do the, they hear that there's like a haunted place. So they decide they're going to do their own paranormal investigation type show. And it's just like a comedy of errors. And it looks hilarious.
Yeah, I know. And honestly, I like Justin Long. Yes. From what I saw, I'm not the biggest Justin Long fan, but yeah.
I'm a fan.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. No, I'm like, okay, this shouldn't work, but why am I laughing and why do I want to see this movie?
Yep.
It won me over. Not for you, Dale?
Not in the theater.
Oh yeah, not in the theater. Come on. At this point, it has to be something like really awesome for me to go out of my way to go to the theater to see it, to be completely honest.
It would probably be about a third choice watch.
It'd be a second for me. August the 19th, Kubo and the Two Strings.
This is a cartoon I want to see.
Yeah, new Laika.
I'm going to pass.
We can always count on... Okay, well, we won't talk to you then. new Laika, you can always count on Laika to bring on the awesome Japanese stinge story about a young man who is trying to defeat a vengeful spirit from the past. Great voice talent. Looks amazing from the guys that brought us Paranorman and Coraline and Box Trolls. So it's going to be great. I'm super excited. I can't wait.
Yeah, Brenda Vaccaro. There's a voice from the past. I grew up watching her on like 70s TV shows.
Oh, okay, because I don't know who
and
that
she
is.
She was like in Airplane. I know. And then she did commercials and she kind of became a parody of herself.
Oh, yeah. It's good to have her back.
She was spoofed. I don't know. For me, it was like just one of those.
Yeah.
Random nostalgia moments.
Yeah. Also opening on the 19th, Ben-Hur.
Where did this come from?
It's going to bomb. Well, this is why it's going to bomb, because everybody's like, the remade Ben-Hur.
Yeah,
what?
Exactly.
But it's Timur.
I know. It's my favorite Timur. Mr. Bekmambetov himself. He's been working on this for a while.
You've been practicing that, haven't you?
Oh, I've been able to pronounce that ever since. Like
the trailer looked. I mean,
it looks epic.
This isn't like Lincoln versus the zombie or whatever that was.
No,
called.
No. Like this is badass. Like it looks good, but people just aren't into epics anymore. It's just not. I think that that's why people aren't talking about it.
Yeah.
Epics just don't sell like they used to. People don't want them. It could look as awesome as ever.
I don't know if it's not that, but. You know, you have to be able to, like, get the pulse of what people want, and I'm not sure people want Ben-Hur at the moment.
Well, I don't think people want epics, period. Like, seriously, Gods of Egypt is really not very good, but it is a classic 1950s epic. Like, even the acting is in that style, and people just dismissed it. I saw it sort of randomly thinking, oh, whatever, well, I should at least watch this. And I'm not saying it's good,
no.
But I mean, it's clear from the get-go what they're going after, and people totally miss the boat. So people just don't care.
But for me, like, you're trying to do a 1950s epic
mm-hmm.
in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still making a 1950s film.
Mm-hmm. Which is what this is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't know. But you know what? They made Gladiator.
That was 20 years ago.
Was
almost.
It 20 already?
It was a while.
Yeah, like 97?
Yeah.
No, 2000.
Was it 2000?
I was, maybe.
Maybe late 90s, early 2000s?
It was definitely late 90s. It might have been 97. I thought it was a bit later than that, but.
Yeah,
anyways. Look it up. But anyways. Yeah, I mean, I think that you're right. I think it looks great.
I'll say this, like, just from the cast names.
Yeah.
It sounds like they actually cast people that would have sort of been even somewhat representative of the area a bit.
Hey, for once. Hey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not, let's find the whitest guys we can from England and from America and cast them.
Yeah, 2000. So yeah, almost 20 years old now.
Wow.
So that time has come and gone. But you know, I mean, I think it looks really great. But I just don't know how well it's going to do. I think it's going to be a bomb, to be honest.
I was interested in it, actually. I didn't think I would be.
Yeah, no, I'll see this on the big screen for sure. Come on. It's going to be epic. But I don't think it's going to do well theatrically. I don't think it's going to make any money.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, yeah, which is too bad because, you know, Timur needs to be making more movies. Also opening on the 19th, War Dogs. Todd Phillips brings us 1980s, drugs, sex, guns, college kids selling guns, or something similar to that.
I'm not the biggest Jonah Hill fan kind of thing, and I think I'm going to skip this and just rewatch Lord of War.
Which is amazing.
Which is amazing. That opening sequence from Lord of War is one of the best openings ever.
Agreed. 130%. And that movie just kicks all sorts of ass.
True.
Yeah. No, there's another hole I need to fill in my
It's really
back
good.
Catalog.
Really good.
The opening credits are amazing. They follow the manufacture of one bullet. The entire way from basically foundry work to basically being fired and killing someone.
Wow. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's a really great opening for a really great movie.
Yeah.
It's, what's his name?
Cusack. Cusack.
John Cusack?
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
No, it's,
the other guy.
Yeah. Shoot him again. His soul's still dancing. Help me out here.
Yeah. Yeah. Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage, yes. That's right. The Cage.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. It's solid.
This one is a bit different, apparently.
Very much.
Based on a true story.
Yeah, comedy. I think it looks fun, but then I don't mind Jonah Hill, so, yeah. You know.
Two 20-somethings become arms dealers in a shady gray area.
Pretty much. So I think it could work. It could go either way. Todd Phillips is sort of hit and miss for me, but I'm willing to give it a go. I think it looks okay. One that surprised me, mostly because I didn't really know what to expect, Morris from America. This is Chad Hartigan's new movie. Craig Robinson starts as the father of a young boy. They are living in Germany. So
shot on location in Germany.
Yeah. So you have like a teenage black kid growing up in Germany. He speaks no German. It's kind of like the culture shock.
This looks
amazing.
Is another movie I didn't think I would want to see and I want to see it.
I know, right? I think it looks great.
This month feels like a film festival, honest to God. Like, I'm reading these titles and going, this would be like a great film festival venue.
Yep.
Sure.
Some of these films.
Yep. I think this looks great.
You know what? The actual acting in it, I wasn't all that interested, but when the kid is actually basically performing. Yeah, I thought he was doing really good, getting up and sort of like rapping away. It's like I love that shit.
The quote at the end, like whoever cut that trailer is awesome. And it's like, does that mean I'm not grounded?
No. I thought.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, I thought this looked really, really good. I'm very excited to check this one out. This might be for you.
This one is definitely for me.
Lo and behold. Reveries of the Connected World, Mr. Herzog's back.
I need to make a t-shirt that has I Heart Werner Herzog on it because I swear to God, this guy can do no wrong in my book. Like, even when he completely misses the mark, I still am entertained.
So this is Herzog's ode
to the internet.
To the internet.
Well, whoever cut this trailer didn't read the memo. they're conflating the, like, when I watch this, I mean, don't get me wrong, I want to see this. Like, Herzog is going into some interesting areas, but the description on this, the pendant in me is going crazy because they're conflating a whole bunch of technology stuff with the internet. And it's just like, oh, great. I mean, even when we have someone who's trying to explore this, they're fucking up the technology.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. You're totally right. I think the title, I think there's a reason the title doesn't say internet.
Yeah. That's what brought me back to, I think the person that made the trailer was a bit clueless.
Yeah. I mean, it is a really nice looking trailer and it certainly gets the point across. And I mean, but I think Herzog is Herzog.
Weird disjointed questions that are just slightly off the mark.
Yeah.
Which is what makes Herzog so great, right?
I know.
Well, I mean, that's it.
I want him to narrate my biopic when I'm dead. I want him to narrate. Screw Samuel Jackson or what's his face? Fisher guy. No, it has to be Werner Herzog doing mine.
He did an amazing job.
Lini formed the bass band. Yeah, no, it has to be Werner. It has to.
He's pretty great. I think this looks really, really good. I'm very excited. Also on the 19th, Kingslave Final Fantasy 15. I don't know. I threw my hands up because it's Final Fantasy and I just have no idea.
Watching that, it looks right. Like, yep. There's something about how they've shot it. It looks exactly like all those stupid movies that are embedded in video games.
Yep.
I don't know if they've slowed down it slightly, like when people are talking, like it just...
I don't know.
It's not the fluid like it should be.
So the animation style is very much like the cutscenes in the modern video games.
Absolutely. Yeah. They nailed it.
It is a story straight out of... it was one of the...
Final Fantasy?
It's an adjacent story to Final Fantasy. It has elements of stuff that they were thinking of for the original story and threw away. And it was also originally done in Japanese, so they've just revoiced it in English. Mm-hmm. So I think... I'm really fascinated by this. Like you say, the animation was, slightest bit of uncanny valley, but not so much that it threw me off.
Yeah, like the guard talking to the prisoner kind of thing. Like he tilts his head in just the right way while he's talking. Like it's just, you wouldn't naturally
I think there's a lot of motion capture.
Yeah,
I would assume so. And I mean, if you look at the Final Fantasy movies, and like I never quite know how this works because I don't play the game and I know there's a shit ton of them and I know that there are movies but I only know of like two other movies because it's like, and I don't know if they make the movies in conjunction with the games. I assume so because I know that there's a new game coming out and I can't quite figure out like where the numbering goes, and the universe is so large and the movies are so different that I've never quite figured out what this universe and the story was really about. I know there's Final Fantasy III. And then I know that there's Final Fantasy The Spirits Within. And that was the one that kind of this reminds me of because it has the same sort of Uncanny Valley thing where like the animation is just so top notch that you're kind of like, okay, that's just like a little creepy.
Yeah.
But you've got me. Okay.
Wikipedia has a really good breakdown of where it fits into the whole franchise. And I won't, if you're interested at all, go read it because it will outline it really well. Not movie theater, but I'm really interested to see this movie because it sounds like an interesting standalone story.
Agreed. And my understanding from Sony Pictures Classics, who's distributing this, is it's a very, very limited theatrical release. So it might play like 2 or 3 days in limited markets, and then it's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray like the end of October.
That makes sense. I don't see where, just because of like name recognition and marketing, you're basically going to have the game players.
Yeah, it's a tie-in to the video game, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks really amazing, and I'm definitely going to see this. But yeah, it's definitely like a tie-in to the video game. So yeah, I looked at it, and I'm like, okay, it looks amazing. I'll watch it. I have no idea what it's about. also opening on the 19th, The People versus Fritz Bauer.
Post-World War II story.
Yeah. I am down with this film like no one's business.
Yeah, you know, it looks really interesting.
I didn't read extensively. I didn't read it in any of the notes, but the thing that strikes me as significant in a social sense about this story is it's a German production shot in Germany on a topic where the Germans for a long, long time did not like to talk about this kind of stuff.
And it's about a man who's bringing German
Adolf Eichmann.
Yeah, but they're in search of basically
they're Nazi hunters.
Nazi hunters. Yeah. Thank you.
Searching him to bring back for justice for
war crime.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Nazi hunters. It looks really good.
It does. Yeah. No, it looks really good.
Yeah, I am on board like crazy.
And it won a bunch of German versions of the Oscars. So. High
like
stuff there.
It feels like Film Festival August.
It totally does, doesn't it? It's a combination of stuff that came out at like Sundance and stuff that came out at festivals last year. So it really is sort of a nice precursor actually to, you know, festival season, which sort of kicks off in September. On the 26th, not in festival mode. Mechanic Resurrection.
Let's go back to the big tent.
Jason Statham and your comfortable rut.
Jason Statham.
Oh, but I just love Statham his comfortable rut.
Me too.
He's perfect for it.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Anytime I see a film like this and it doesn't have Jason Statham, I automatically think, why? Yes. Was he unavailable when you shot this?
Give me your environmental impact statement of not using Jason Statham.
It sort of... Exactly. It's sort of like car chase films now without Vin Diesel. Like, you have like a crappy little Japanese car and you're driving really crazily. Why isn't Vin Diesel here?
He drives muscle.
Or whatever.
That is the simple answer. He drives muscle.
You're not drifting something. There's drifting going on and there's no Vin Diesel. What's going on?
I don't know. He doesn't drift. He wasn't in Tokyo Drift.
Are you stunt dumbing for the Rock again?
Damn it. So this is the only thing I got from this trailer. It is a sequel to the movie that was the remake, and it looks like Taken with Jason Statham.
Yeah.
They take his girlfriend and he goes looking for her.
Hitman is first forced to do something he doesn't want to do anymore. You're playing with fire, bad shit happens.
Pretty much.
I have to admit, the pool scene in the trailer, that's fucking badass.
It is pretty badass.
Yeah.
It's Jason Statham kicking ass, man. And it's always going to be badass.
Why does Jessica Alba still have a career? I don't understand.
Because she looks amazing. That's why Jessica Alba still has a career.
Eye candy.
Pretty much.
All the women they could have picked and 20 years younger.
That there is that.
And you have Michelle Yeoh, who's
amazing.
She's just badass motherfucker, though.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. And Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, I have to make a note.
Tommy
about that.
Lee Jones, kick ass. Okay, Don't Breathe. Okay, so I think this premise is really great.
Yeah, me too.
So these kids break into a house because they think that they could take advantage of the blind guy.
Well, there's rumor is that he's got a whole bunch of money there. And they're going to break in and
he's
like,
blind. So he can't
blind.
See you.
Yeah.
Wait, this is easy pickings.
Yeah.
How wrong you are. The blind guy fights back and he does not fight nice.
The premise is great.
Yeah. So I can't say I'm surprised. It's directed by Fede Alvarez, who did the Evil Dead remake, which was actually pretty good.
Yep.
So, you know, he's got cred. He made like a short too, which was amazing. Decent cast, but yeah, the premise is like the thing that sort of got me. And I thought the trailer looked great.
I usually, the last decade of horror / thriller has been full of things like Paranormal Activity and shit like that. And I normally hate it.
This and Blair looks, Witch sequels, yeah, dude.
This looks like a Paranormal Activity film, but without ghosts. This is all just badass serial killer. Yeah. Motherfucking blind guy. Yeah.
That is a really great point. Like they took all of the cinematic vocabulary from a horror with the dark and the, you know, like the be quiet and all of that. And they turned it into a stalker.
This is the first horror film I've seen in a long time that I actually am really kind of
excited about.
Up for. Yeah.
Agreed. I think it looks like the concept is fantastic. And I thought the trailer was really, really well put together. So if it's any indication of the movie, I'm game.
I don't find ghosts scary. I find humans scary.
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. I for me, it's not even the ghosts like. The films that I find most effective are the ones where you don't actually get to see anything, right? It's like the idea of something.
Someone's out at the curb and they're wearing a fucking mask.
Yeah, like, well, no, I mean, even the Purge movies. I mean, the first one, I thought the concept was really good. Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing. Like, they're great concepts that don't really have follow through.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be able to sustain that idea for more than 10 or 15 minutes. And most of the movies just don't, right? Which is the bad part.
Yep.
But, I mean, if this one could pull it off, the trailer is certainly suggesting that it's
I'm willing
good.
To give this one a go.
Yeah, me too. Also on the 26th, Southside with You, the Obama love story.
What is with Americans and the glorification of everyone in that country?
I don't know. It looks sweet.
It looks sweet.
It does look sweet.
It's not for everybody, but it looks sweet.
But it's the acting president's first date with his wife. Like, really?
Yeah, well, nothing
wrong
with that.
Are we that low on content that we're calling that?
I don't see it that way.
No,
actually.
Neither do I. I mean, I actually think it's a really sweet story, and you know, it looks like it's well put together. It would be the kind of thing I'd watch on Lifetime. Like, I mean, it is a Lifetime movie glorified to the theater, but nothing wrong with that.
Thank you for encapsulating it. Like, this is not a movie. This is some sort of made for television sort of for the women's channel.
Yeah, it's a made-for-TV movie. Oy. Lifetime has cornered a market that I thought was dead, yeah. And I was crying for.
It's the romance novel on TV.
Well, this was pretty much it. But like, there was like the 80s and 90s were like perfect for it because everybody on TV had like the Saturday afternoon matinee, and then were like these really super cheesy made-for-TV movies that were like, you know, the cute serial killer or, you know, the crazy stalker. I mean, they were weird as shit,
yeah.
But they were kind of fun, and they sort of filled this weird gap. Lifetime figured out that there was this gap, and they fucking filled it, yeah. And it's glorious. The latest is like serial killer swim teacher. Okay, bring it on. I subscribe to Lifetime just for the movies.
Wow.
You're hardcore. You're going to love one of the movies that I talk about in Medias View.
I'm excited now. I'm excited. Okay, I took us off track. Sorry. Back on track. We're almost there, guys. We're almost there. Hands of Stone. I'm very excited for this. And I am not into boxing. Boxing is really not my thing. But you give me Edgar Ramirez in a movie and I will watch the shit out of it. So it's about boxers. That's all I know.
There you go.
Like some Roberto Duran fighting Sugar
Ray Leonard,
I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's about a like kind of washed up boxer who Robert De Niro starts training him. And I guess De Niro is like some big ass trainer that doesn't really train anybody that, you know, isn't star material. And he gets talked into training this guy, and this guy makes this great comeback, I think. I don't know. It looks good, mostly because the actors are awesome.
And it's a biopic.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much liberty they took with the story, but...
I'll see it. Ramirez is awesome. Bloodfather, Mel Gibson being a badass.
Is he out of the woods now?
Stupidest title of a movie this year.
Bloodfather?
It's ridiculous.
It's pretty bad. The trailer is pretty badass, though.
Yeah, it's not bad, but God, I can't get over that damn title. Hey, can I have a ticket for the 7 o'clock Bloodfather?
It's not exactly memorable. So Mel Gibson plays like an ex-con who is on like parole or some such thing, and his daughter gets involved with some shady people, and he has to protect his daughter. And, you know, if that means killing a bunch of guys, so be it. I don't know. I think it looks like it could be fun. As much fun as a movie like this could be.
I'm going to hard pass on this one.
It is.
I can't get past the title.
It is.
I'm judging it harshly on that alone.
Oh, listen up, people. You heard it here first.
Don't name your things Bloodfather.
Pretty much, right? Complete Unknown.
Not in order of disappearance, I have.
Oh, I'm left that for later because it was listed twice on my list.
It's on the same page.
Yeah, it's down a little bit further. Complete Unknown. I'm trying to remember if I saw a trailer for this.
There was no trailer.
Okay, so...
I judge it harshly on that alone.
Okay, I'll just read this description then. Oh, yeah, that's right. There was no trailer. As a man contemplates moving to a new state with his wife for her graduate program, an old flame, a woman who often changes identities, re-enters his life at a birthday dinner party. So I think the thing that sort of caught my attention of this, and I did put it on my watch list, is basically the director. He directed Maria Fuller of Grace a number of years ago now. And the cast.
Yeah, the cast. Yeah. Rachel Danny Weisz Glover. Michael Shannon.
Yeah, Danny Glover and Kathy Bates.
Exactly.
I mean, it's rock solid, so I'm certainly, you know, keeping
Rachel
my
Rachel Weisz.
Yeah, she's pretty great. She's pretty
Dale
great.
Smiles.
I know, right? She's pretty awesome, so why not?
Yeah.
Also opening on the 26th, The Hollers. Mother is Sick. Shenanigans Ensue.
Another set of great cast.
Yeah, and then this one is directed by John Krasinski.
Directed by?
Yeah, he also stars. I rather liked the trailer. I thought it looked quite good.
I like Margot Martindale. Like, she's just
amazing.
A great character actor.
Agreed.
Not my cup of tea, but it didn't look bad.
Yeah, no, just I thought it looked like it could be promising.
Not my wheelhouse.
I was interested in the story, yeah.
Yeah, so she's dying of cancer, right? Think?
Yeah, she's
not doing well.
She's got a very bad disease. It isn't clear whether it's terminal or not, but it's pretty bad.
And the family sort of, you know, things happen.
Yeah.
Family comes together when they haven't seen each other for a while, and things happen. And okay, so in order of disappearance, because you were very excited about this one, Dale.
I'm very curious about this one, yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Oh, is this the one with...
Skarsgård, only he isn't really credited.
Yeah, okay, so this is the one. So this
it's
is like
Norwegian.
So it's a Norwegian action comedy, which is like, right, that right there is like, what? And apparently the comedy is very black.
Nice.
Very dark black comedy.
Yeah.
He's basically taking revenge for the murder of his son, I want to say. I can't remember, to be honest.
It wasn't...
Sounds plausible.
I don't know. I just kind of looked at the trailer. It was all very, you know, Skarsgård kicking ass and the dude from Game of Thrones being awesome because he's just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Hivju.
Hivju?
Shot in Norway in the wintertime.
Hey, works for me.
It was like just so completely different with the revenge, you know, thing.
Well, what got my attention was the fact that everybody keeps talking about just how darkly comedic it is. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm game with that. You don't really see a lot of dark comedies. Sure, I'll watch it.
Screw the vegetables. Let's just go to Norway.
I'll take the vegetables.
Vegetables.
All right. And finishing off the month with Mia Madre, this is Nanni Moretti's new movie about a middle-aged director who's dealing with her mom is dying and she's going through some sort of existential crisis, and John Turturro is there as well, and it's kind
of, you know,
hooray.
He actually cleans up not too bad.
No,
like,
he does.
I was looking at him going like, wow, I think that's the first time I've seen him not looking a bit creepy.
Yeah, and it's funny because he turns up in these European movies every once in a while and you're kind of like, really? He's going like the John Malkovich route, which is interesting to say the least, because Malkovich towards the end of, like, I don't want to say the end of his career, but I haven't really seen him in anything in the last couple of years. But the few things that I have seen him in have been like these, like Italian and Portuguese, like very artsy European movies.
Doesn't he live over there now?
Yeah, he does.
Like, if that's the case, then like, yeah, I'll spend 2 weeks doing that.
It seems like such a weird like turn of events, and yeah. Turturro seems to be going in that direction. I'm like, okay, sure, I'll take it.
If you haven't been stupid with your money,
yeah, why not?
Why not just do what you want and to hell with commercialness?
Yeah, that's right. I really like Nanni Moretti's work. We Have a Pope is kind of genius. It's not very flashy. It's a very, it looks like it's a kind of funny, like, drama, like a nice dramedy, but he just handles the material really, really well. So I have to say I'm rather looking forward to this one. That's it for the month. I promise there's no more. There's just local stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What effect?
I have no idea. Okay, so at the Van City Theater, starring August 5th, Life Animated. This is Roger Ross Williams' documentary about a young man. I think we talked about this last month, Dale. Did we talk about this last month? About the kid who, the parents discover that the kid communicates well through
Disney
movies.
Disney movies, right.
Yeah, so the Van City Theater is screening that for basically 2 weeks, August 5th to the 14th. Wiener, this is Kriegman and Steinberg's documentary on Congressman Anthony Wiener and his misadventures. That plays August 12th. 21st. Edge of Winter, which we talked about earlier with Joel Kinnaman, that's playing August the 19th, 27th. The Interior, why did I put this on my list? I don't remember. Oh, I think because it was local and it looked really, really good. August 20th at 10:15. I was disappointed there was only the one screening. They are doing, they're continuing their series on Black and White by Design. So films that are modern but in black and white. This month's offerings, Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, Elephant Man, Veronica Voss, Rumblefish, Raging Bull, and Persepolis. They're also showing In Order of Disappearance, which we just talked about, August 26th to September the 1st. And then probably the most exciting thing that happened to me 2 weeks ago, I discovered Catherine Hardwicke was coming to town. I bought two tickets without even looking at the date. And then I crossed my fingers to make sure there was nothing else going on that day. It was the dumbest thing I could possibly have ever done. But nothing else is happening that day. So I am going to see Catherine Hardwicke, and I'm super excited. August 6th, 3 p.m. There are still tickets available, so get yours while you still can. Over at the Cinematheque, they're doing their film noir summer, which they do every summer. Some of the titles on the lineup includes The Killers, Big Sleep, Shadow of a Doubt, and Kiss of Death. They've got this noir sidebar, which I assume is like noir films that are like newer, because the two films that are listed this month are a little newer.
Yeah.
Seconds, John Frankenheimer's movie, which I saw for the first time like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen it. I bought the Criterion disc blind when it was on sale. And holy shit, that movie is really awesome.
Isn't it?
It is awesome.
Mm.
I saw that and I'm like, I need to rewatch that. And then John Borman's Point Blank, which is pretty great.
Yeah.
And their Cinema Sunday this month is Miyazaki's Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind. Classic.
Cool.
The Rio, they have lots of awesome stuff coming up. August 5th, they're showing the Summer Olympic opening games. That presentation is free.
Is that a horror flick?
It might be. It might well be.
It's an international thriller.
Yeah, international thriller. That's right. It's a horror flick with an international cast.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes, if it goes.
Yeah, just don't drink the water. Stay away from the water.
And everything else, apparently.
And mosquitoes.
Yeah. They're doing a Grease sing-along. There's Saturday Night Fever. I'm surprised that's not a sing-along. They're showing the Indiana Jones trilogy. Notice how it's the trilogy.
I actually wanted to go that. I was right ready to go to that. And then my bandmate reminded me that that was our summer gig that we're doing that day. Son of a bitch. I was all ready for canceling.
You should just reschedule that gig.
I think so. The band wasn't all that on board with that. I know.
That's too bad. That's August 6th.
They didn't realize. But indie.
Yeah, all three indie movies. No Crystal Skull, so there's that.
Hooray.
Jorodowski, Doubleville, El Topo, and Holy Mountain get really high before you go and see those.
Holy
August
shit, yes.
9th.
Yeah. El Topo is fucked.
They're both pretty fucked.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell Day, as I'm calling it. I'm sure that was the plan. Because they're showing The Thing, Escape from New York, and Big Trouble in Little China.
Ooh, I may have to triple bill that.
On August the 13th. And then Tragically Hip's last show, The Most Canadian Thing of Canada, August 20th. Free at the Rio. And that is the month.
Unfortunately, I don't know what pit the midnight showing at the Pit is, because they haven't released it yet.
Yeah, and we've missed those because you haven't been here.
I know.
It's been really sad.
It's sad.
It is sad.
But they don't post until they've done their thing, what the next one is. So usually when we podcast, I don't know.
Yeah. It's okay. We can always link to the website. I think we were linked to the website anyways. So it'll go up there eventually. Just, you know, stay tuned.
Yeah, support them. Unless you're a plumber and then you go to bed early. Damn it. I haven't been in a while.
Anything else, guys?
No.
You?
No.
No. No. Not really.
Okay. August. Yeah, I'm just going to call it Film Fest August.
Agreed. It's looking pretty good. Pretty damn good.
Then a huzzog, bitches.
Pretty much.
You know.
Pretty much.
That just made my day when I realized, yay!
So we will be back in a couple of weeks with your media spew. All the stuff we've been, you know, watching lately. Until then, come on by roll3.com. Stay tuned to the other podcasts, of which there are many, and they continue to grow. Quieter.us for all of your genre news stuff. And until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality. Open your eyes. Look up to the skies and see. I'm easy come, easy go, little high. Any way the wind blows doesn't really matter to me. Mama just killed a man. Gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he
up a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo Figaro.
Magnifico!
I'm just a poor boy and nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family. Spare him his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Bismillah, no, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah, we will not let you go. We'll not let you go.
Never,
we'll
never
not let you go.
Oh,
no, 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 no.
Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia.
Mamma mia, let me go.
Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me. For me.